right, it is Predictably Drunk, the podcast, smart people talking about stupid things. This is Sam Marcoux. Thank you again for being here, joining me. You are allowed to be here in my vicinity for the length of this program, and then you have to leave immediately. I hope you guys enjoyed the last podcast with Matt Somerville, editor, I don't know what he does, producer. He does all kinds of shit down in Hollywood. He works with a lot of the big names. You heard it. We talked about it. So I want to thank Matt for being here for that. And I really hope you guys enjoyed it because Matt is here again. Matt Somerville, say hello. He's here. He never left.
I'm back. I don't have much going on, so I've just been waiting to do this again. I've been waiting an entire week. There's poop everywhere. It's bad. It's bad, but it's good because we're doing this now, and I'm so happy.
Speaking of poop, a monumental thing happened here in the Predictably Drunk household. For people that have no idea what I'm talking about, I have a 2-year-old daughter. She just turned 2 in March. Right around the time that Matt turned 30, actually. And she just, as we speak, she pooped in the big girl potty for the very first time.
Me too, age 30.
Yeah, she's a little more advanced than you are. But
we called each other and we talked about it. It was pretty great.
You guys Skyped, actually. You had some connection problems, but it was good.
Yeah.
It's weird. I got to tell you, Matt does not, you do not have children yet, correct?
Not yet.
Yeah, I have one that I support both financially and emotionally. And
your friend has 2.
I'm going to get to that here in a second because I have a friend who has twins and I need to give her some credit. That is crazy. But
stupid thing to do.
Well, I don't know if her body really gave her an option.
A stupid decision that she made.
Yeah. Matt, the Republican nominee for 2016 coming up.
Hi.
Yeah. So my kid, she pooped in the potty.
How did you handle this?
My initial reaction was that smells terrible.
Yeah.
Because there's something about like when a baby shits in a diaper, you can smell it, but it is somewhat. You're somewhat insulated from it because it's covered up, it's wrapped, right? But her shitting in the open, with you know, no pants on, shitting, and then getting off the potty and having that smelly thing there, it hits you really, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, like, what did you eat? But
yeah.
But I was happy. I was happy for her, and she didn't really give a. I mean, I guess she literally gave a shit. But
she actually did.
Yeah, but other than that, figuratively, she did not care. She went about her business after that, you know, watching Elmo or whatever the fuck she was watching. But
she's an adult now, so she can do that.
More or less, she's an adult. She did. She filed my taxes for me immediately after taking a dump. So
that's cool. Now she knows to do those two things at once.
Yeah, well, that's how I've done them for years.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But did you jump up and down? Did you give her a hug? What happened?
What happened is I got up and I tried to pump her up and make her feel good about taking a dump. She really didn't have a reaction. She did. She
immediately napped.
Yeah, she went and got another cup of coffee and went about her day. And then I went to go clean it out. So this is the gross part. I mean, this is like the reality of being a parent. When a kid shits in a diaper, you have to wipe their ass, and then you basically what you do is you take the wipes and you roll it into the diaper and you close up their shame and you throw it in this like hermetically sealed diaper genie thing.
And you incinerate it.
And then you never speak of it again, correct?
Right.
But okay. Now that she is officially shitting in a potty, I have to now clean out the potty with wipes and everything else. So you're actually more intimately involved with the poo now that she is shitting as opposed to pooping in a diaper. Now that she's pooping in a pot, essentially, it's almost more hands-on, for lack of a better term, than when she was pooping in a diaper. Now, I would be lying if I said I didn't have a moment where I'm like, this is going to look great on Instagram, and I was going to have her do like almost a finger gun pointing at the poo in the potty,
right,
with a smile on her face, like, look what I did. But she doesn't take direction well. I'm like, finger gun it, and she just like, you know, picked it up, and I'm like, oh damn it.
Oh, fuck.
But yeah, so it's actually a little more involved with the poo now. And the other problem I'm going to have is I've come to the realization that now that she can pee and poo in a big girl potty, but she's still learning, she's going to shit and piss all over my house. She's going to be like a cat before you train it. Right. For probably the next 4 to 5 months before she really starts grasping this whole concept. So yeah. I think things are going to get a lot worse before they get better.
But that's a glorious step in the right direction, smelly as it is.
Yes, it's very exciting in the Marku household and the predictably drunk household that my child has defecated where she is appropriately supposed to defecate. So we're very happy for her. I'm Kudos. Very happy for her. And yes. Speaking of worse things, I'm going to now jump into the worst best joke of the week, which if you listen to the last podcast, we ended with this because we had a very long conversation about Hollywood people. And then we ended with the best worst joke I'd heard that week from Eric Evans in Indiana. And we're going to spread the love. We're going to have a new inductee into the best worst joke of the week for my podcast here, Predictably Drunk. And that is going to go to Jillian Lancaster, who we've already mentioned her, but she has twins. She has twin boys. But she has a joke that she goes to. And if you happen to, I'm going to set it up, Matt. Okay. And if you okay. happen to know the answer to, you know, the punchline, feel free to chime in. If not, I will answer it. But
I feel like I got to redeem myself from last week because yeah. I didn't even guess. Like, it would seem like an obvious answer, and it was the wrong answer that I would have guessed, but I didn't even try. So I'm going to try this time.
Okay, so this is the best worst joke of the week, and it goes like this: Matt, what type of cheese does not belong to you?
Oh, I think I hate to ruin a good joke, and by good I mean awful. Because I think I know the answer to this one. I'm going to go ahead and ruin it anyway. Believe the cheese that is not your own is nacho cheese.
You are 100% correct, which is why it is the best worst joke of the week. So yes. Congratulations to Jillian Lancaster. You have a terrible joke. And Matt, you have terrible equally life. awful sense of humor, apparently, because you guys are on the same plane. So.
High five, Jillian.
Both of you.
All right.
So if you're listening to this, hopefully you came to the 420 comedy joke out. It was a great time. Many jokes were had. Many jokes were laughed at. Many things happened. We had a great time. So thank you very much for coming out to the 420 comedy joke out. Thank
Any
you.
Any pots were smoking?
Many pots. The whole place smelled like my dad's car. It was.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was insane.
I've been in your dad's car.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but that's the point.
I had to be told that later, yeah.
So thank you very much to Abel Jaramillo for putting that together. He's been on the show. Go back and listen to those. Thank you to Kabir Singh, who continues to just be the rising star that he is. And then on to the next one, which would be April 30th at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, California. Just an awesome lineup. Myself, I'm going to be reuniting with my brother from another mother, Jeremy Curry. We have not seen each other in a while, so that should be a lot of fun. I cannot wait to be called a fag. Speaking of fags, and worst best jokes of the week. Matt Somerville.
Wait, why did you say my name?
No. Because we have a mutual friend.
Oh, okay.
Who has terrible jokes, and I feel like this best worst joke. Idea that I have is he's going to be the front runner after about a month and a half because as you put it, he just has terrible jokes.
He's the champ.
He's the champ.
He's so good. He invented the popsicle company, I feel like, because every single joke of his is of that popsicle stick caliber. And he seems to – they're endless. He just has this crazy amount of these terrible jokes.
Yeah, and his name's Mark Linville, and he's like, you ever have Bazooka Joe and then you eat that terrible gum and they got an awful joke at the bottom? He's the guy who came up with those jokes that were rejected for Bazooka Joe. So like,
believe it or not, Bazooka Joe has a quality assurance department and they became because of Mark.
Yeah, Mark. It's called the Mark Linville Act of 1994 in the Bazooka Joe headquarters.
I got to tell you this. Bazooka Joe gum was so awful that it was actually harmful. When I was a child, I bit into a Bazooka Joe, whatever, what is that, a brick of gum? And I actually shattered one of my baby teeth on this gum, this so-called gum. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, your mistake, Matt, was taking the gum directly to the mouth. I think what you're supposed to do is boil water,
boil
the gum into the water, and soften it up before you chew it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to have Bazooka Joe gum.
You got to geriatric that shit.
Yeah. You know what gum I liked? I liked the Big League Chew.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I played baseball growing up, and I loved it because it was pre-shredded to look like tobacco.
Yes, that was the whole draw, man. You felt like a big boy.
Yeah, I loved the grape and, like, the weird steroided out face of the dude on the package, you know, and he had, like, it looked like Mike Piazza if he was in a funny mirror. And
it was oddly dangerous, though, giving children the Bazooka, or not Bazooka Joe, the Big League, because I think the first time any kid who tried the Big League, any time they were actually offered real chew, they probably chewed into it as if it were gum and then vomited violently everywhere.
Well, that's their fault for being stupid. But I do believe that Big League Chew was probably secretly owned by an umbrella corporation, which was owned by Philip Morris.
Philip Morris, definitely.
It absolutely had to have been, right? I mean, it looked like tobacco to a degree. You were supposed to throw a big-ass fat wad in the side of your mouth like your Brett Butler, not the comedian, actress, but the baseball player,
right.
And make yourself look like a big league. It was called Big League fucking Chew. I mean,
yeah. I feel like when World War II ended, some asshole named Philip Morris read a headline in the newspaper that said the Holocaust is over, and he's like, aw, and he just wanted to fucking keep that shit going, and his reign of terror has just been destroying lives ever since.
Yeah, and speaking of baseball, Matt, growing up, you were a bat boy or ball boy for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Oh, I was a bat boy. Yeah, I have a family member who has worked for that organization for a while. Doesn't work with them anymore. Works with TSN, which is basically the ESPN of Canada.
Yes. Yes.
And he gave me a call one day when I was in middle school and said, hey, do you want to be knowing my affinity for baseball at the time, which has absolutely been extinguished for quite some time now when I realized that baseball was the chess of professional sports. But then I was ecstatic and got to be a bat boy for about 3 or 4 games, got to meet the likes of Jose Canseco, Roger Clemens. I mean, that was just such a treat when I was a kid.
I feel like that's a lot of people that just told you to shut the fuck up and bring me my bat.
Well, honestly, like, it was very odd for a middle schooler because my first day on the job, the equipment manager brought me in and he said, hey, you know, you're going to need cleats. I've already talked to one of our players, Shannon Stewart, who was, I believe, the center fielder at the time.
Very good baseball player, actually.
Yeah, and he said, I know that you're a size 13 shoe size, and so I've already talked to Shannon, and he's agreed to let you borrow a pair of cleats, so you should go find him and talk to him. And I go and I find him, and Shannon Stewart has not showered yet, and so he is just fucking butt-ass naked, and his dong is fucking in my face.
Well, why were you on your knees? That doesn't make any sense.
I
your own
wasn't.
Fault.
That's the thing. I was standing upright, and it was just there, man, and he was so like the strange thing that nobody really thinks about, and nor should they, is the amount of casualty going on in these locker rooms with absolute dongage everywhere. I mean, he was cool as a fucking cucumber and naked as hell. And it was just very weird I was like in fucking seventh grade, you know what I mean? So it was kind of shock to the system, but it was still amazing despite the dong factor. It was, I mean, you know, hearing Jose Canseco swear was such a treat, man, for me being like fucking 12, I'm like, dude, Jose Canseco just said fuck like 9,000 times in 3 seconds. It was fantastic.
So here's what I've gathered from this. I like the fact that you said cool as a cucumber while talking about another man's dick. That's good.
I realized that too, and I just didn't mention it in hopes that you missed it.
Oh, no.
For picking it up.
I'm paying attention.
Good.
The other thing, maybe you should have been a walk around naked. You're wearing a size 13 shoe in seventh grade. My God.
No, but, I know. That's how I tricked you into becoming friends with a freshman while you were a senior.
No, actually, the way Matt and I met, actually, so I was a terrible student. And for the record, most comedians are terrible students. But I had to take my senior year, I guess my freshman year, I just fucked off the entire time of high school. I don't know what I did. I know what I didn't do, and that was homework.
Right.
And so my senior year was spent basically taking a bunch of freshman classes. Like, I had to take, like, Introduction to Biology. I had to take, fucking Algebra 1, all these classes that I failed. Like, I had moved on in life. I'd done Algebra 2 and Geometry and Calculus and all this fucking shit. But I had this, like, albatross for my freshman year. For whatever reason, I just didn't do anything. So my senior year, I had to go back and I had to take a bunch of electives that I'd failed out of or just apparently never took.
Right.
My freshman year, and one of them was a cooking class.
Yep.
So I had to take a cooking class my senior year. I sit down at the table. It's myself, a friend of mine who apparently was fucking off right along with me because he was a senior, and this kid looking like something right out of a Nine Inch Nails or Korn video looked at me and was basically like, fuck you, man. I'm not doing anything. I'm a bat boy for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I didn't say that.
And I have touched Shannon Stewart's penis. So...
My face is touched, specifically his penis.
So I am not doing anything that you tell me to do. And I actually was immediately drawn to you because that was the attitude that I had as a freshman year, which got me in that freshman class 3.5 years later. So congrats.
Well, the thing I remember was, we won't name names, but the teacher started off the very first class by asking what our cooking experience was. And nobody wanted to answer this. Nobody raised their hand. And then this was the first sign that it was a sarcastic asshole that I was immediately drawn to and ended up being good friends with. You didn't even raise your hand, first of all. I was like, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Why would I waste motion? Yeah.
Right. You know, that's a lot of calories that you can suck off of. And you blurted out that you toasted a mean piece of bread, and that got a lot of laughs. And I'm like, that's pretty great. And then I think under my breath, I mentioned that motherfucker probably burned cereal or something. And so that was it was the immediate it was scary as a freshman. It was scary going into this world of fucking kids driving their own cars, playing football, like all of these things that didn't exist in middle school were happening in front of my eyes. And
yeah, and by the way, that whole thing you just said is why the word fag exists. Is you just sounded like Daniel Stern from The Wonder Years in Fred Savage's head about how scary high school was. Shut the fuck up with that. High school's not scary.
It was scary. It was for a young lad. I mean, we had heard about all of the hazing that we actually were exonerated from. We didn't have to deal with it. Did you have to do that when you were a freshman?
So the reason why, so Matt was a freshman when I was a senior, and the incoming freshman class, i.e. Matt's class, was exonerated from any sort of hazing whatsoever. And the reason for that is my junior year. So the class right above Matt's that came in, that freshman class, where they got the shit kicked out of them so badly that basically the law was laid down by, the teachers, the staff, that if this were to happen again, like the school dances were going to be canceled or some shit, which I never went to anyways.
Right.
People, I would go to the school dance to like throw shit at the people's cars. I never went to the dance which was probably stupid because all my friends were probably having some sort of, second, third base sex while I was teepeeing their car, but whatever. I stand by my decision.
Yep.
So when I was a junior, what happened is all of us loaded up on food. We loaded up on drinks. We loaded up on all this stuff. And then they have the introductory class or introductory, whatever they want to call it, announcement, where they have all four classes students sitting in their certain corner. So you have juniors, you got seniors, you got sophomores, you got freshmen. And
this is in the quad.
This is in what we call the quad. It was a big open area. And as juniors and seniors, we all loaded up on stuff and we just started chucking shit at the freshmen, like throwing stuff, hardcore stuff, beating kids up, punching them in the face, throwing them in garbage cans, having a great time, right? Just Christmas in fucking September.
Yeah.
And then at one point, a kid who I don't remember exactly who threw it. I have an idea, but I don't remember for sure. So I'll protect the innocent. But he chucked an apple. And we all knew who the apple was going to hit about 10 seconds before it hit him. Because for whatever reason, everything else became blurry except for this halo around this kid's face. And we were like, it's going to hit that kid. And he's running. And at the last second, it looked like every movie scene, every horror movie scene or like big disaster scene where like a big tidal wave is going to hit or there's a fire. And like the main character turns at the last second and sees that look of realization like shit's about to go down. Oh, this kid turned around, Matt. And this apple exploded on his face, just knocked him down. Kids are trampling him. The class above you was terrified of the upperclassmen because we just harassed the living shit out of them. When your class came in, we were told basically, if you touch these kids, you know, we're going to fuck you up, basically, what the staff told
us. I remember that. There was this big speech when we were freshmen, like, there will be no, like anything that you've heard, there will be none of that, or there will be difficulty. I don't know if they threatened difficulty graduating, but there was a lot of threats made.
It wasn't that they couldn't prevent you. It was like they couldn't say, well, you're not going to graduate, but you weren't going to be able to walk with your kid. You know, when you're 17, 18 years old, that's a big deal. That's like the biggest thing that's ever gone on in your life.
Yeah, it matters.
You know, it mattered. So basically when Matt and his you know, merry band of idiots came into our school, we were forced to make nice, which is fine. I mean, Matt and I are friends now, you know, off and on friends, depending on what sports season it is.
Yeah.
But that's the story behind it. I don't know if I've ever shared that with you before, but that's why you guys were able to
come in.
Yeah, we beat the shit out of the class above you. They got their ass handed to them.
I mean, we all kind of imagined. We all kind of had to imagine, you know. Like
pretty shitty thing to do, quite honestly.
But then also, here's the thing. Like, you know, we in one light, we would be considered the luckiest bunch of all of the classes coming in because we were the first to kind of skate away from this. But I think that added an extra degree of hate towards freshmen that year, because we were the first ones that couldn't be touched.
The Predictably Drunk the Football Show, it is coming back. There is going to be some newer segments. I am going to have a co-host. I'll announce that soon. I'm not sure where, but I will. And it's actually a little bit of a paradigm shift because I'm moving away from the Miami Dolphins in general, and I'm going to be moving more to just a general NFL show, which I know my Miami Dolphins faithful are probably going, what the fuck, dude? But it's for the best, and trust me, I'm not going to let you down. There will be plenty of Miami Dolphins topics, you know, everything that we can talk about. The Dolphins will be well represented week in, week out. Trust me on that. I just need you to trust me on that. But we are getting
bigger. It's a good idea. Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I ran up by Matt off the air. You know, I trust his opinion. He's never been shy about telling me when something was good, bad, or otherwise, so I'm happy to announce that. I'll let you guys know more details as we get closer. But quite frankly, it's fucking April. There's no football till September. So, you know, keep your panties on, as they say.
Hey, listen to some fucking podcasts in the meantime.
Yeah, listen to me. Go see my shows. April 30th, Tommy T's, Pleasanton, California. May 29th, May 30th, Reno, Nevada at the Pioneer Underground. Myself and Kabir Singh. Three shows in two nights. We got one show Friday night, May 29th, and then another show, or two shows actually, May 30th on Saturday night in fucking Reno, California, because life is so good for us that we have to go to Reno for three nights.
That was a really good plug, man.
It was a good plug. I feel like it was natural.
It was not natural whatsoever, nor has any plug ever been. But as far as plugs go, that was champ.
I will also say, if there's people out there that are repping alcohol lines, sports lines, movies, music,
easy decisions,
stuff that we're talking about here, then by all means, send it my way. If you have music you want me to review, you know, you're a local rapper, rocker, whatever the fuck, I'm more than happy to pretend to listen to your shit and give you a nice review. If you're going to pay me, I'll give you a fantastic review.
Yeah, it'll be great.
If you're giving me free shit, I'll give you a nice review. If you're going to, you know, I don't know, be a jerk about it, I'll make sure to trash you. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But that's what we'll do. And I'm more than happy to do that. I ain't too proud to beg, as TLC says, or Salt and Pepper, or whatever those bands were.
Wow. More racism. All
right. Why was that racist? I wasn't racist.
Because you named two African American groups in the same sentence.
Yeah, because I'm not sure which one. I'm not sure which one actually sang that song. I didn't say, one of them black female chick groups like SWV or En Vogue. I know it wasn't them. It was either Salt and Pepper or the other one, black female group.
We've received 9 calls from Ludacris, 21 calls from Busta, and Salt and Pepper just calls all
Salt
the time.
They got nothing to do.
They've got nothing going on.
They want me to promote their vape pen.
En Vogue was another one, I believe.
I said them, yes. En Vogue was nice because they would go from like 5 members to 6 members down to 3 members down to playing the Alameda County Fair. They were
as good as math as I am with my list.
Yeah. No, they were fun. I actually like the mid-90s, mid to late 90s R&B black chick bands. Those were a lot of fun.
They were great. They were so good. I think Destiny's Child would even count as the later 90s.
Tail end. They were on the tail end of it before Beyonce was like, I don't need you bitches. And
fuck
then
this.
Moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My name is French. I don't need you. When's the last time you have had the opportunity to see a movie in theaters?
Wow, that is a great question. As you know, I have a 2-year-old, so I don't really get out too much. I can remember the last 2 movies that I saw in theaters was the Wizard of Oz remake, or not remake, but the prequel, if you will, with James Franco.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Then I saw, you may know the name of it, but I can't remember the name of it, but it was Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro, and they were like an old mobster family that moved to Europe to get away from the mob family.
I know what you're talking about. I just don't know the name.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a dark comedy, so I mean, I sort of was okay with it. But it wasn't that great. I felt I was a little bit upset that I chose that movie. That was after my child was born. It's called The Family, by the way.
As far as the last movie that you saw in the theater, that was a poor choice.
That was it, yeah. If I Die Tomorrow, that's a bummer that's the last movie I saw in the theater.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, I know that obviously the great success that you've had with your beautiful and wonderful daughter is far better than any movie that's been viewed in a theater. But, I mean, do you miss that? Do you miss the experience of getting to see a movie for the first time in a giant dark room with great sound? Or do you just not give a shit?
You know, I don't give a shit, I don't think. I mean, it's hard for me to sit and watch an entire movie now. I mean, just because I do have my kid all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of talked to you a little bit off the air. I have seen Frozen. I've seen the first hour of the movie Frozen probably 60 times. I just saw the ending because my kid will get up in the middle of it and be like, I'm fucking done with this movie, and leave.
Right.
And then I don't get to see the end of the movie. And to be honest with you, I finally saw the ending and I'm a little bit disappointed. I had it a little bit differently in my head on how it was going to end. Mainly the way I had it, everyone died, and that's not what happened.
Well, you know, you have a kid, and that's important. That's a big, first of all, what the fuck is wrong with kids? Because that's been the hugest hit amongst children in the last 2 years, which is saying a lot. And
it's like the number one grossing movie of all time now.
Catching that the end again, like realizing that in fact was the ending. It's like, I don't understand children at all.
No.
And I fear having them now.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I love my kid, and she's a lot of fun, and she has made me a much better comedian because I can just walk around with a notepad and just be like, today she's shit in a pink bucket, and
right.
I'm going to get 5 minutes out of it. But yeah, their decision-making is god-awful at times.
Awful.
Awful.
What were they thinking?
No.
I had to watch that. It was Mother's Day, and I asked my mom what she wanted to watch, and that was the answer. And she fell asleep 30 minutes in. and I was forced to watch the rest of the sack of shit by myself. And
no,
and
you
she
weren't.
Woke
you
up.
Just decided to.
No, I swear to God, I did. In case she woke up, I didn't want to upset her by having her wake up into me changing it to like fucking. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's something that I would enjoy. And so I, out of fear, I just finished it. And she woke up and she asked me how it ended. And she's like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. It's a dumb ending. It's a very dumb ending to a movie that, quite frankly, has its moments. I mean, when it comes to kids' movies, it's one of the better ones I've seen. I liked Big Hero 6. And that's what
that was fun.
Yeah. My life has come to animated movies.
Has there been any regrets, I should ask, because, you know, the Robert De Niro movie was at least 3 years ago. Has there been any regrets like, oh, I wish I saw that?
No, I mean, I was never a big go to the movies guy. I mean, I enjoy it, but to be honest with you, Matt, I think most people are in this boat now. Our home entertainment systems. I mean, I've got a 60-inch LED TV. You know, okay, so I can sit on my couch in a comfortable chair. I can make my own damn popcorn. I can drink a beer, and I can watch. And I've got a pretty decent sound system at this point. I can watch and have a very good experience at home, like you can at the movies. I mean, the movies. Even 10 years ago, it was still a thing that, hey, I got to go do this because I can't witness this at home. You can almost replicate it at home now. So, I don't have any regrets with regards to that. I'm sure you'll tell me how stupid I am for saying that, but that's kind of my thoughts. I mean, I think the big blockbusters are a lot of fun to see in movies, but I don't care. I've lost hope on that. I don't care.
Well, I think that there's a certain quality that comes with a theater full of people that you can't get anywhere else.
That's what I need, and smelly humans sitting next to me.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Fuck that.
That's my point, is that some people do not want that. And some of the best movie experiences that I've ever had were at midnight screenings with a theater packed full of people who were all reacting to the movie that you were excited to see with the same amount of intensity and excitement that you were bringing to that movie. And being able to enjoy that with a huge group of people is irreplaceable, I think. In some cases, not in all cases, of course. I've had nightmare experiences going to movies at the movie theater, some of which have resulted in fighting, in physical violence.
That makes no sense to me. I see, and that's the thing. I ranted about video games on a couple of podcasts ago that I hate that it's become a social thing, because the whole point of video games is for you to not have to talk to anybody and be kind of involved in your own little world, in your room, away from everybody else. And movies are kind of that same experience. I mean, it's a little bit more communal because you do go and you travel to this, you know, this big building and you watch a movie. But why do I care if other people are around? God, that sounds so annoying. And this is coming from somebody who has kind of a social job where I go out and talk to people on stage,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
But I don't get that. I don't need people dressing up like Spider-Man. I don't need people getting into fights over a movie. God, that sounds so exhausting to me.
It was, and it was exhausting, and I didn't want to be involved in a physical altercation. That was the basis of the confliction. It was I just wanted to watch the movie, and these cunts didn't, and so I tried to fight them. But there's been some things where I think, you know, if you're watching a comedy film and you're watching it like at the airport on your fucking phone, you're not really laughing in the same way out loud you might if you were in a theater full of people sort of being influenced to laugh.
But that's my point, though, is if I can sit there in a movie or at an airport and watch a movie on my phone and it's funny and I laugh, then it's truly funny. Versus everyone else is laughing. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood because I've been influenced by everybody else, and now I'm laughing at Adam Sandler yelling at a swan. No,
right.
Fuck that. That's not funny. That's groupthink.
I, I think that the best experience that I've had, I'll split that into three categories.
Being make it quick because I want to go to bed.
Christ, all right. So the first one was seeing Jackass.
That's a great movie.
In a theater full of people.
That would make it better. You're right there.
We had snuck some beers into the theater, and so we're sitting there just knocking back beers.
Shouldn't they give you beers? Like at
they
the door
should.
When you're doing Jackass?
The fucking Dick House should have provided beers for everyone who bought a ticket.
I agree.
Kegs lining theaters. But that was such a fucking amazing experience. Having that same shock reaction as 200 other people, just really getting to that point with all of these other people was so fucking fun. The other, number two on that list of the three was, and you won't agree as much, was Spider-Man 2.
No, it's terrible.
Because it was a theater full of like-minded nerds. And so those really huge, huge moments that I'm sure at least one person listening to this will know, those moments derived from the comic that made it into the movie, those really fucking nerdy stand-up-and-cheer moments really made people stand up and cheer. And getting to see that for the first time, that really nerdy moment, is enough for a nerd to jump out of his skin. But getting to experience that with 199 other people, amazing. Just amazing. And I know, you just don't say anything. I know you don't agree with that. Third one is sort of a more of a catch-all thing, and that is horror. Seeing a horror movie, a truly violent, visceral, fucked up horror movie at fucking like 1 a.m, seeing it with other people, I'll tell this real quick. I went to the San Francisco International Film Festival maybe 5 years ago, and they were playing a British movie called The Descent, and it's about these five women who go hiking in this awful... It was a terrible idea of theirs. They go hiking in this like hole in the ground. It's basically a fucking dwelling. It's a cave dwelling, and they find this army of golems. Basically, it's like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings, and there's a ton of them, and they're not charming or friendly or Andy Serkis. They're all pissed off and hungry and want to eat you. And there's fucking bones being like knocked through skin, and the way they did it felt so real and so ugly and violent, and having all of these people experience it with you at the same time is so much fun, man. It's hearing people just scream out of disgust or just shock. It's so fun. I can't, there's nothing to compare it to.
Well, I'll take your word for it. Personally, I'll stay at home and keep the lights off and watch a movie by myself and then talk about it later. But no, thank you very much, Matt. This has been a lot of fun. I learned a lot about you over the last couple of weeks, mainly that you're into way old chicks.
Yep.
And that you like hanging out with baseball players while they're naked.
Yep.
And that's all. That's all I've really learned. I've also learned
that's all
that,
I do.
Yeah, I've learned that I'll be at Tommy T's on April 30th in Pleasanton, California. Before we go, anything you want to say? Any words of advice to anybody in general, or do you want to tell somebody to fuck off in Hollywood? What would you like to do in the last 30 seconds of the show?
Oh, I should just thank you for having me on, man. I had a great time.
Oh, anytime. Anytime.
And, I would love to come back if you'll have me.
Of course. Anytime. Not tomorrow, but any other time.
No, okay, that's fine. Yeah. And in terms of advice, I don't have any. If you are interested in doing anything within this industry, you can do that by just working hard.
Words to live by or not live by, I don't fucking care. I mean, you do whatever the fuck you want. Personally, yeah. I hope most of you comedians don't work hard so that I can get better gigs. But that's just,
what I'm hoping for. Yeah. I want you to succeed and no one else.
Quit working so hard, other comedians. Stop it.
Stop it immediately.
So, all right. Well, this has been another episode of Predictably Drunk, the podcast. Smart people talking about stupid things. We've got a lot of good guests coming up here over the next few months. I'm pretty much booked out way better than this shitbag who's on the
much
show right now.
Much better than I. Much yeah. better.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. We'll catch you on the next time. Go drink a beer.
Bye-bye.